As you can see, we're continuing the journey from Bethlehem, well, actually from Nazareth to Bethlehem and then back to Nazareth. You know, there was a misprint in a Methodist church bulletin which read as follows. The choir will sing, "I heard the bills on Christmas Day." Well, we appear to be beyond Christmas now, and for some of us, the Christmas bells indeed are turning into bills. I've noticed even on my own block, and I must confess in my own home, the Amazon delivery service now, they have their own trucks driving all throughout my neighborhood, leaving tons of boxes everywhere, and I notice on Recycle Day, there are so many Amazon boxes outside waiting to be picked up by the trash collectors. So Amazon's been very busy this year, and unfortunately, many of the stores and the malls have suffered as a result of it. But you got to be careful what you order online. I ordered a pair of shoes once. They came from China, and they were three sizes too small. So they didn't fit, and I couldn't send them back to China. So you got to be careful. So I read this story of a man who ordered plans to build a treehouse. He wanted to surprise his kids, so he ordered these plans. Instead, he received plans on how to build a sailboat. So he quickly got the email address of the company, shot them an email complaining that he received the wrong plans, to which he received an apologetic reply as follows. While we regret the inconvenience this mistake must have caused you, it's nothing compared to that of a man who is out on a lake somewhere trying to sail a treehouse. Beyond Christmas. Maybe the shopping will slow down a little now, I don't know. But we have traveled a journey, haven't we, through Advent, and then Christmas Eve. Part of Advent was done in person, and it was lovely to see everybody's faces. And then, of course, we had to continue Advent with so many of you missing and such a small company of people who faithfully come each week to bring you this service live streamed. But we do appear to be beyond Christmas. In a sense, back to the real world, whatever that world is right now. I would like to say back to the weird world, but at least we're back to this new world, whatever it is, back to face all of its challenges and all of its opportunities. And so Mary and Joseph had to get back to their real world as well. Now, they couldn't linger forever with the shepherds and the angels in Bethlehem. Unfortunately, it was a stark and very real and very, at times, cruel world in which Mary and Joseph were to bring their child into. It was a world where a woman soon to bear a child could be forced to ride on the backside of a donkey for days to get to a place in order to meet the requirements of a taxation decree. It was a world in which a mad tyrant could put to death children two and under simply on the word of astrologers. We're talking about Herod the Great, of course. It was a world in which men could be suspended on a cross for the most minor of transgressions against the Empire of Rome. Into such a world as this, the Christ child was born. And so our lesson from Luke's gospel skips ahead from the Christmas story to the day Mary and Joseph went up to the temple to dedicate their son. You see, Jewish families had several ceremonies soon after the birth of a child. One of them was circumcision. And every boy was circumcised and named on the eighth day. And we all know that Mary and Joseph were told to name him Jesus. And circumcision was also a symbol of a Jew's separation from the Gentiles. And so the Gentile and Jew were different, and they had a unique relationship with Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim, and circumcision was one of the ways that they were able to do that. And then there was the ceremony of the redemption of the firstborn. This is when the firstborn son was presented and dedicated to God 1 month after his birth. The ceremony included buying back or redeeming the child from God through an offering. And thus the parents acknowledged that this child belonged to God, who alone has the power to give life. And so you have this ceremony of dedication. And then there had to be the purification of the mother. You see, for 40 days after the birth of a son, a mother was considered unclean, or 80 days after the birth of a daughter. And so the mother was ceremonial unclean and could not enter the temple. And at the end of that time of separation, a Jewish mother, the parents of that child, were to bring a burnt offering and offer it as a sin offering to the temple priests. The priest would sacrifice these animals and would declare the mother is now clean. And we know that Joseph and Mary brought two turtle doves, which was the offering of individuals that were poor. And so we know that they were struggling to make ends meet. Many people today are struggling to make ends meet as well. So much unemployment, people out of work, people underemployed, really struggling. And Mary and Joseph were in that category. And so when they brought Jesus into the temple, they were met by a righteous and devout man named Simeon. You see, the Lord had revealed to Simeon that he wouldn't die until he actually saw the Messiah of Israel with his own eyes. And when Mary and Joseph entered the temple with Jesus, Simeon gasped, and he ran over and he took the child up in his arms. I'm not quite sure I'd let my baby, just somebody come and grab the child, but this is what happened. And he looked up into the heavens and he cried out, "Sovereign Lord, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." See, Simeon saw the Savior of the world with his own eyes. And he was basically saying, "God, you could take me now anytime you want, because what you have promised me is fulfilled this day." But then Simeon turns to the mother Mary and he said this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. I wonder if a shudder ran down the spine of Mary when he spoke those words. But the important thing to note is that Simeon prophesied that with Jesus there would be no neutral ground. And that's true to this day. You either receive Jesus or you reject him. And it's a personal choice. There are no fence sitters when it comes to receiving Christ. Mary would later watch her son grow up into a man. First, he worked beside his father as a tecton, a builder, whether it was wood, a stonework. She must have wondered at times, is this real? Was her son the one who would redeem Israel and the world? But she must have regularly recalled the day in that temple court when Simeon spoke those words over her son and her husband. But she must have regularly recalled that day that Simeon said, "This is the Savior of the world." You know, as wonderful as Christmas is, it's only a small part of the bigger drama. You remember last week I said, from Bethlehem you could see Calvary's cross. Right? I had mentioned that we are post-Christmas, post-Easter Christians. And so, the birth of Christ, yes, is a celebration, and Lord knows we should celebrate that because God broke into the darkness of this world, and I preached on that last week. But there's a bigger drama beyond that, the drama of redemption. Not only did Simeon see it that day, but Luke tells us that there was a prophetess named Anna, and she also recognized the specialness of Jesus. In fact, the gospel says, from that day forward, Anna spoke of him to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. So she went on, this is a woman in her 80s, going around and telling everybody that her eyes have seen the Redeemer. There would be no reason for Christmas if we couldn't get beyond Christmas. The manger speaks of the love of God, but not quite as nearly and eloquently as does the cross when Jesus gave his all for you and for me and for the sins of the world. I'd like to share a story I heard years ago. My wife and I, we had traveled throughout Korea, South Korea. We visited many churches, met with many pastors, district superintendents, laity, gleaned their ministries and what was the phenomena going on in Korea. The churches were on fire and growing. But we were told about an experience a missionary had while serving in Korea. And this was the story. A young Korean woman was expecting a baby. And on Christmas Eve, she was going into labor. There was a major storm going on outside, and they had no cell phones or no phones back then. And she knew if she could just make it to the missionary's house, there would be a midwife there to help her deliver her child, this young mom-to-be. She put on her winter clothes and she started off on foot through the snow. She was several miles from the missionary's home when her labor pains grew in frequency and intensity. And she knew she could not make it to that destination. And so she went beneath a bridge that afforded her a little bit of shelter from the wind and the snow. And there alone in the middle of night, she gave birth to a beautiful boy. She immediately removed her coat, and then piece by piece, the rest of her clothes, she wrapped up this newborn son of hers. He looked like a cumbersome cocoon, and then she fell asleep, exhausted to do anything else. The next day, Christmas Day, they knew she was missing. A search party went out to try to locate this woman. The missionary heard the faint cry of a baby coming from beneath the bridge. And as the missionary followed the sound, she went under that bridge where she discovered a tiny baby boy, very hungry but very much alive. And next to the infant lay his mother, frozen to death. The missionary picked up that baby, took him home, and in time she was allowed by the Korean government to adopt this little boy. As years passed by, she told him all about his biological mother and how she had given her life to give him life. And he never got tired of hearing that story. On his 12th birthday, he asked his missionary mother to take him back to Korea to visit the burial place of his biological mom. And when they arrived, there was snow on the ground, it was cold, and he asked the missionary mother to wait for a while and allow him to go to the grave alone. She watched her son as he trudged through the snow, tears streaming down his cheeks. In amazement, she saw him slowly unbutton his coat and remove it gently and place it on his mother's grave. Next, he removed his shirt, then his pants, his shoes, his socks, and carefully placed them on the grave of his mother, who had given her all for him. The missionary couldn't take it any longer. She went up to her son and she placed her coat around him, for he was shivering. And through his tears, she heard him as he asked, "Were you colder than this for me, mother? Were you as cold as this that night?" And he already knew the answer. That boy went on, by the way, to serve as a United Methodist pastor in California. You see, the angels and the shepherds and wise men and Mary and Joseph and the babe in the manger are only part of the drama of redemption. They have little meaning, however, without the last act, the cross and the empty tomb. There is heartache beyond Christmas. There is a price to be paid beyond Christmas. But there's also hope beyond Christmas. If people could only see our hope, it's not in jingle bells or Santa Claus or a mistletoe, but in a God who loves us enough to take our suffering upon himself, just as that Korean mother gave her life so that her son might live. Jesus gave his life so that you and I might live. There's more than bills that lie beyond Christmas, my friends. There is a definite hope beyond Christmas, and each of us have been blessed with it, to which we worship this morning, to remember our redemption and the promise that we could never be separated from God's love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.